Okay, for the most part, we focus on the major characters because major characters are the ones who the story is about. On the other hand, all kinds of... I don't want to start by saying literature, but in all kinds of texts, there are also minor characters, and the minor characters are oftentimes a larger part of the story than sometimes we recognize. And sometimes they present a challenge. So the character that I wanted to speak about today is someone named Lot. Lot, as we know, is related to Avraham. One of the sources we'll see later on, if someone didn't follow Rashi, and I didn't bring the Rashi, I brought someone else, but Rashi already pointed it out, that Lot may well have been Sarah's brother, so therefore you also have the brother-in-law aspect. But he is, as well, Avraham's nephew, so he's Avraham's nephew, he may be his brother-in-law, and you know, there's always this theme of this non-successful brother-in-law who you can't get rid of, but you can't really take care of, and that's right. So it does, it really does. So, yes?
The term for him would be fifth business.
Fifth?
Fifth business, yeah. He is essential to the plot, but he's a peripheral character.
Okay, thank you. Fifth business, and if Uriella says it, if Uriella said it, then it's right. That's all. You could take that to the bank. Okay. So, in what sense is he essential to the story? So that's part of what we wanted to get to today. We're starting, of course, in the middle. This is right after they return from Egypt and come back into Eretz Canaan. V'gam Lot aholech et Avraham hayatzon uvakar v'olim. One of the things it said that Avraham now had become someone who had a great deal of possessions. Even though it spoke about possessions before, now it seems to be a great deal of possessions. V'lo nasa otam ha'aretz l'shevet yachtav. And that sounds like an objective statement. And the land was not enough for the two of them to stay together. So probably I should have put the word I should have bolded the word yachtav there. You know, the ability of people to live together or not to live together, I suspect, is more a question of desire than it is a question of technical ability. Of course, you can argue with me, but I think all of us know of situations where people have been living together because they wanted to, even though, I mean, you think about even the immigrant population in America at the turn, not of this century, of the previous century, and how people lived in tenements. And I was reading recently, I read all kinds of strange things, that's what I'll tell you. This was about a book about the revolt of Jewish housewives in terms of meat prices in the early 1900s. I don't know why this wouldn't sound interesting to you, but I'll try to remember to bring in the book and show you, so you say, what? He's not really making this up. But as it's telling the background of the story, it's also telling us about what the situation was in terms of the tenements and how many families would live together in one small place. And it was something which is quite challenging. But then on the other hand, I think most of them would have said, well, what choice do we have? You know, this is my relative, or this is a landsman, they came from the same town, or this is somebody. And it was the most logical thing in the world. So when you read a verse like this, oh, they couldn't stay together because there was too much property. So then, yeah, they allowed the property, or someone allowed this, to get in the way of trying to live together. So I know it shocks you that I have intellectual interests. I just see the...
Whole book.
Yes. It was the rebellious women who were taking leadership, and they were, it was part of the kitchen was the household, and the household, and they made a whole rebellion at the time. So that part of it, what was interesting to me. Of course, it caught my mother's eye when she came for Shabbos one time, and oh, I have to read this book, and so on. Anyway, let me continue. And Pasuk Zayin, v'yihi riv, so here you go from that, sounds like an objective statement that they couldn't be together, but now there is a quarrel. V'yihi riv ben roi mikne Avram uben roi mikne Lot, which is also interesting because it makes it sound that it's Avraham's people who are not happy with Lot's people, because you could have said the other way around, it's Lot's people, the ones who don't get along, but no, it's Avraham's people who don't, which is why Chazal point to certain shortcomings in terms of Lot, and maybe we'll describe some of them. V'knaniva prizi az yoshev ha'aretz. Which means, as much as we think that, you know, we're fighting over our little sliver of property over here, we are not the ones who are in charge at this point. There are others there. And that kind of quote-unquote editorial comment is really quite important, because it at least talks about the larger situation, and maybe it explains motivation as well, which I'm not explaining. V'yom Avram el Lot, and Avram says to Lot, Al nati hi meriva b'ni uvenecha, ubein ro'ay ubein ro'echa. Let there not be a quarrel between the two of us, between our shepherds. Ki anashim achim anachnu, because we're brothers. Over here, as Avraham comes and says, we're brothers. Halo kol ha'aretz lefanecha, hi pared na me'alai. And separate, please, from me. Unless not means now, but it sounds like it's please. Separate, hi pared, separate from me. Im hasmol ve'imina, ve'im hayamin ve'asmeila. Left and right over here are most likely north and south. No, there were four possibilities. That it's most likely because, I mean, one of the reasons that Teman may be called Teman is because it's all the way in the south, and therefore Yamin. So therefore, if your orientation, but by the way, this is a huge question. Now I'm going to completely show off in terms of reading maps from the Middle Ages. There's always going to be an issue: what is the perspective of that particular map? Which means maps don't. Today, it's for us, it's easy. It's north, south, east, and west, and we know the orientation. You start looking at maps from a long time ago, they don't have that same orientation necessarily, and therefore things are just put differently. So therefore, as much as this particular makes sense, the other thing about maps is that they are, for the most part, historically, have been Eurocentric. So therefore, they make Europe look very big and make Africa look very, very small. Well, if anybody actually would realize the real size of Africa versus the size of Europe, they're shocked by this, because Europe is really actually not all that important. I'm sorry to tell you this. But this then is even deeper. It's not just the orientation of the map, then it's the political agenda of the way a particular... I'm not even dealing right now with so-called liberated or occupied territories and the like. I'm just talking about even the way that you make a map is interesting. But over here, I'm understanding this at this point as Avraham saying to him, you want to go north, you want to go south, because again, he only gave him two perspectives. And then it would be interesting that the response of Lot is, let's continue, V'yisa Lot et dina, v'yar et kol kikar ha'yadein, ki kol ha'mashke lefnei shachet Hashem et Sdom ve'et Amora, ki gan Hashem ke'eretz Mitzrayim bo'ochat Tzoar. And I hope you realize that's a far more difficult verse than I'm letting on. But first, just in terms of the orientation, it would sound very much like instead of going north and south, Lot is a dafkanik. There's no word in English for that. And he then decides to go east, which means that was not one of the choices that Avram set up, which means I don't believe that Avram said to him, listen, I got a great idea. Why don't you go live in stone? Why don't you go and become a sodomite? You know, this could be a wonderful career opportunity for you. And I think that Avraham was rather looking in terms of north and south, in terms, again, they just came back from Egypt, which means that they just now came from south towards north. And Avraham's saying, listen, we're not getting along. One of us can go further north, one can go, you know. But he's not talking about going east nor west. And again, it's interesting that Lot does not take that as the opportunity. Rather, Lot decides to go to stone. V'yivchar lo Lot et kol kikar adin v'yisa Lot mikedem v'yifridu ish me'al achiv. So over here, the tension that I would suggest is one, on the one hand, they are called brothers, they're not literally brothers. On the other hand, they separate. They're brothers, but they quarrel. But maybe sometimes that's what brothers do. Avam yashav ba'eretz kanan, v'lot yashav ba'rei hakikar v'yal ad stone. Avram is in Canaan, and Lot is in stone. And I'll say it again, I don't believe that that's what Avraham was suggesting to him, but that is what Lot chose. And if we'll now make an editorial comment, if you have the opportunity of living in proximity to the greatest man, perhaps in the history of the world, you can debate that. It's not my... I have no interest right now in debating this. But the argument could be put forth that Avraham is the most impactful individual who'll ever lived, and you have an opportunity of being really in close proximity, not just geographically, but religiously, socially, in terms of family relations, but you cannot make this work. One would suggest or suspect that a different person with this kind of opportunity would stop and say, hold it, I need to get my people in order. We need to figure out a way to make this work. Avram, I'm not leaving you. I mean, and one of the things that I did here is I did start in the middle. And there's a background to the story. And there's also a future, you know, a continuation of the story. But I deliberately decided to start in the middle. But the place where I'm starting is the separation and that tension. We're brothers, now let's separate. Because that was not always necessarily the obvious conclusion that one could have made. And then we have the editorial comment from God, after my editorial comment in Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'anshei Sdom ra'im v'chata'im l'Hashem ma'od. And the people of Sdom were exceedingly evil. I'm translating ra'im as evil. And they were sinners in front of God. Again, the ma'od I already used, exceedingly. So therefore, now again, we have to question Lot making this choice of not just leaving Avram, because on the one hand, I would say, he has an opportunity of living with the man who's the greatest man who's alive at this time, certainly maybe ever, and instead he chooses to go to a place which is morally, I don't want to say suspect, it's not morally suspect. It's not just morally compromised. He wants to go to a place which is, in a certain sense, the very opposite of the morals of Avraham. Turns out Avraham is all about chesed and all about following the word of God. It's almost like, let me undo my Avrahamness, right? Let me undo the time that I've spent with Avraham, and now let me go and in this other direction. And therefore, Avraham's choice and decision to say to Lot, let's separate, is actually, it's not that it's compounded, it's confirmed when we see the choice that Lot makes. Of course, you can now blame Avraham. Oh, look what happened to Lot. It's all Avraham's fault. But no, apparently Avraham was aware, Avraham saw, Avraham knew, and Avraham said, okay, we're brothers, therefore let's separate. This is not going to work. As we continue, the Torah now tells us, Pasuk Yudalid, V'Hashem Amar El Avraham, Acharehi Pared Milot Imo, and God spoke to him after Lot separated. Again, the hafrada, the separation. Sana inecha, lift up your eyes, u'rei min ha'makom asher ata sham, tzfona v'negba v'kedma v'yama. So now God says, look where you are, and all four direction God mentions, all of this is going to be yours, even though I'll stress again that Avraham's words to Lot were only about north and south. God says to him, no, what will one day be yours will be all, which means even a place like Sdom is going to have to undergo some kind of a cleanup. But all this is going to happen. And then God continues and he says, Ki et kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh lecha etnenu, all of this land I'm going to give to you. Ula zar'echa, and to your descendants. That's very important because the word zera, meaning children, forever. V'samti et zar'echa ka'afar aretz asher im yuchal ish lemnot et afar, ha'aretz gam zar'echa yimena. It is difficult to count the sand. It will be as difficult to count your descendants. Kum hitaleich ba'aretz la'arka ularachava ki lechadnena. Now go and traverse this land north and south and east and west, because I'm going to give it to you. V'yal Avram v'yavo v'yeshiv ba'oleinim amrei asher b'chevron v'yivin sham mizbeach l'Hashem. And Avram then, of all the places he chooses, he goes to Chevron, and he settles in Chevron, and there he builds a mizbeach for God. So what we have over here is, again, the background is the separation. The separation is the two men going in two very different directions. One goes to a place which is evil and does evil in the eyes of God. The other goes to serve God. One goes to a place of all kinds of moral limitations, and the other goes and, with an eye towards the future, has received divine promises that his children will one day receive this land. And Avram's steps that he takes seems to have, again, especially according to the Ramban, has particular power in terms of acquisition for those children. Yeah.
Are you reading a causality here that after Avraham cleaned out his camp of the tumah, that's when God gave him the promise. He might not have given it to him if Lot was still with him.
I'm certainly hinting the causality. Rashi, on the one hand, tells us that God speaks to him after Lot leaves, that beforehand that conversation is lacking. But this other part, the contrast, again, what exactly is the relationship? I haven't said. But the contrast between Lot being there and then being told you're going to have children. If you want, we can now try to fill in some information. First, let's look at Rashi in source 2. Acharei pered Lot, kol zman shaharasha imo. Now, that's very interesting because Rashi just made that value judgment. Yes, they're brothers, but his going to stone reveals, you know, he wants the nightlife. He wants the opportunities. He wants the gambling. He wants the women. He wants the men. He wants, I don't know what else he wants over there. I know I'm making it sound like Vegas, so I apologize to all the people in Vegas. But he wants what's there. But Rashi over here made the value judgment that kol zman sherasha imo hayadibur pareshmenu, that God has not spoken to him. Now that's really interesting, which means that Rashi is telling me something about Avraham. That's why we go back to the point. The main character is Avraham, but Avraham doesn't receive divine instruction when Lot is with him, which then causes us actually to go back a little bit more. Now, if I'm going to address your point, part of what we need to understand, but we're not there yet, we're still missing some information, is what is Lot's motivation? And you can say to me, what do you mean, what is Lot's motivation? So let's read a little bit more, but I'll already throw it out because you said it, and that is, Avram is not a young man. Avram is apparently a wealthy man, and Avram doesn't have any heirs. So therefore, having, where there's a will, there's a relative, or something like that. Does Lot therefore sense that, you know, this is my wealthy uncle. I'd like you to meet my wealthy uncle here, and just waiting for the opportunity to cash in on it, which means, is he simply an opportunist over here? And then it's very interesting that after he separates, God says, no, don't worry about him, because you're going to have your children. So, but we're going to see that is actually going to be probably part of the subtext over here. Going back a little bit further, source number 3, and we're now moving back, right? I told you we started in the middle, and now we have to go backward. Source number 3 takes us back to the beginning of this week's parasha, which, by the way, another hint, is not the beginning. V'yomar Hashem el Avram, lech lecha mi'aretzach maladach mi'beit avicha el aretz asher areka. God says to him, and this is really a quite confusing statement, people have difficulty with this, go from your land, the difficulty is he already left his land, presumably, go from the place that you were born, and go from your father's house. So, of course, the intriguing question is, what's included in his father's house? I'll be far more specific. Is Lot part of his father's house, or is Lot not part of his father's house? If you want, I could put it differently, but I won't. I mean, is Lot his nephew, or is Lot his brother-in-law? Maybe that's, or maybe even something else. We'll see soon a remarkable radak. So if you get bored, you can now skip ahead and look for it, but don't. And then all these blessings that he gets. And Avram goes as God told him to go. And it's those next three words that are difficult. And Lot goes with him. Now, it says that Lot goes with him after it says that he did what God told him to do, which means, does Avram leave as God told him to leave? And now, where's Lot? Which means, should we imagine the scene that Avram's in his horse and carriage and driving, and now Lot's running after him, wait, I'm coming. And Avram's looking back and say, okay, now what does an Avraham do when someone says, no, I want to go with you? Does an Avraham say, well, no, this is against the word of God? Or does Avraham say, you know, is Avram the kind of person to say, no, we have to go in different directions? Of course, you're going to tell me, well, yeah, he says it right over here. But the fact that he says it over here, does that mean that maybe he should have said it back over there? Or in much simpler terms, what I'm really asking is, does the taking of Lot with Avraham, is that part of obeying the word of God? Or is that possibly not obeying the word of God? And again, note the sequence in that verse. Once again, when it says, Vayelech Avram kasher diber ilav Hashem, and Avram went as God told him, Vayelech ito Lot. and Lot went with him. So is that, yeah, that's part of what God told him, or is that not part of what God told him? And if that wasn't difficult enough, the next verse is more difficult, because now it says, so I want to read this verse more carefully, and I hope that all of you recognize that if this verse were there and the previous one weren't there, we would not have noticed that the previous one was missing. It's actually the opposite is the case. Reconciling this verse with the previous verse now presents a challenge, because in the previous verse it says that Avram goes as God told him, and over here it says instead, and then Lot follows, and over here it says, Vayikach Avram, and Avram took Sarai Ishto and Lot ben Achiv. So here it says Avram took him. So therefore, how are those to be reconciled? This, incidentally, if you've never noticed this before, is a far more difficult challenge than perhaps you realize. There are even those who are going to theorize that maybe Avraham went twice, that maybe these are two separate trips, that if you want, in today's language, Avraham went on a pilot trip, went to check it out, went to see what's going on, went to see the opportunities, and then he comes back and he takes the whole family with him. But these two verses are not very simple. And of course, you realize the problem. In source number 4, now we're going further back. So here, I know, we're supposed to be talking about Avraham today, but here Lot appears. So Lot, you see, is Terach's grandson, is Avraham's son. So he died while his father was still alive, and he dies Be'eretz moladito, which is interesting, be'or kazdin. V'yikach Avram v'nachor lehem nashim, right, they get married, and we'll skip a little bit, v'tihi sarai akara in lavlad, which means that is also the known situation. Avram has a wife, and she's unable to have children. And then the next pasuk says, v'yikach terech et Avram bino, v'et lot ben haran ben bino, so Terach is the one who takes responsibility for Lot, and we understand why. Terach is in this quite tragic situation where his son has died. He has a grandson. Of course, part of what we don't know is how old Lot is at this particular point. We don't know if he's a very young man. We don't know if he's a child, if he's a teenager, if he's older. We don't know how old he is, but we can start to figure out, do some math and figure things out. But we do know that in terms of the Terach family or Terach's children, that part of the line from Avraham, there's no expectation to have children, but from Haran, he's had his children, and now there is Lot, which means essentially Lot is the future. And I know I'm skipping a part of the family, which I don't want to ruin the story for you, but we're going to meet up with them a little bit later on in terms of Rivka and Rachel and Leah. But again, I don't want to ruin that for you. I want that to come as a surprise when we get there. But meanwhile, this person, this Lot, is it that Terach puts his hopes and aspirations, the future, this is where he's going to have his, no, this is his grandson, and this is where the line will continue, because Avraham doesn't have children. Or is it a sense of responsibility? Now, there is this midrash, I don't know if I bothered bringing it, that Lot's father, again, I want to read the verse. It says that, how does it that he died? V'yamat haran al pnei terech aviv be'eretz moladato bi'ur kazdin. If you look at Rashi over here, Rashi's going to tell you that he died by going into the furnace. Essentially, he was sitting on the fence, and he was saying, you know, is Avram right or is Nimrod right? And therefore, he couldn't decide, you know, which way he should go. And that is very interesting, because it makes Lot's father somebody who is hedging his bets, sitting on the fence, doesn't know which way to go. If we'll go a step further, when you read that verse about Terach, it says that Terach takes Avraham and Sarai and Lot and all the Ruchusham asher rechashu, with the nefesh ashasu b'charan, and they go to Eretz Canaan, but they never get there, which means Terach stops short. So what you have is Terach is somebody who does not go all the way, follow all the way through the convictions, somebody who stops halfway. You have Haran as somebody who hedges his bets, this kind of person who's sitting on the fence. And now you have Lot, who most likely is influenced by the two of them. Again, he sees he's raised by his father and by his grandfather. He sees what kind of people they are. And we should absolutely anticipate that he will have taken within his own view of the world some of that outlook that he has from Terach and some that he has from his father, because that's who he is. Although, let's not underestimate the influence that may have been put upon him by yet another person, and that person is Avraham. Which means, what does the relationship with Avraham do in terms of who Lot is? But I, at least what I hope that I just now did in the last minute, I hope that I now explained the background of where Lot is coming from, just in terms of the character, in terms of the influences upon the characters, based upon decisions made by the influences of those characters, which means Lot is probably a little bit more complex than you would have realized before we started, and he's probably being drawn in different directions. But I want to go back to the last point that I made. How is it possible to have been within the close interactions with a man like Avram Avinu and Sarimenu and not have been transformed or not have been impacted, not have been changed in any way? Now, that doesn't mean that every single personality flaw necessarily and automatically disappears. What it means is that opportunity was there to help it change, which means ultimately all of us are the decisions that we make, and all of us have various opportunities, and sometimes those opportunities are actually what serves as the judgment against us because we did have such great opportunities. Which means when I think back about the people who I've studied with, and I was very, very privileged to have studied with, you know, most literally, in literal sense, greatest teachers, rabbis of the previous generation, so that creates opportunity, but it creates responsibility. And therefore, if I succeed, then I should not look at it that this is my doing. It's almost responsibility that I've had. On the other hand, if I fail, then that's certainly all of mine responsibility, which means ultimately situations we're in help explain things, but it doesn't create excuses. I want to put it like that. Which means, yes, Lot may very well have had a tragic youth. It could be his father died when he was very young. And, okay, that's what happened. I'm not taking it. So now he sees his father. He's no longer here. And now he sees Terach, but he also sees Avraham. And therefore, he made a decision, which is really quite interesting. The decision that he made was to leave Terach because he also could have, you know, we talk about him interested in, I have a rich uncle. He also may very well have a rich grandfather. Which means he had a choice to make over there. The choice was he could have stayed with Terach and perhaps have been in charge of Terach's home, the homestead. And on the other hand, he could have chosen to go with Avraham, and Avraham's in a different kind of business. Avraham's in the soul business. And the fact that he makes that decision to go with Avraham is itself interesting. Again, all of you can say to me, well, it's just he's following the money. But is he really following the money? Maybe there was something else. Which means the decision on Lot's part to follow Avraham and to leave Terach, that's interesting because as far as Terach is concerned, Terach has responsibility for him. Terach has responsibility, especially if you follow the Midrashic background, that Terach was the one who had brought Avraham to Nimrod in the first place. And what happens then to Haran is because of that Nimrod set up, so therefore there's responsibility. On the other hand, Avraham may also have felt some of that responsibility, but let's leave all of that now for the moment. The Or HaChaim, in source number 5, goes back to the question about Avraham taking Lot with him. And he says something that if I said it, I'd get into trouble. Oh, dear, so we're going to skip a little bit. Right. Ach Avraham lo hivinze b'divrei Hashem v'lakach imo Lot. He writes that Avraham misunderstood the instructions from God and only thought he was supposed to leave his father's house and didn't understand it as his father's household, and the taking of Lot with him was a mistake. So there you have, going back to, I showed you the possibility of reading this, but you do realize I don't want you to get mad at me, so you can get mad at the Or Chaim HaKadosh, right? And the Or Chaim HaKadosh makes this evaluation. So I hope that you realize that is really interesting. He continues and he says, O Efshar, now you even see that he backs down from it, because, you know, it's hard to say Avram's wrong. O Efshar Shehivinkein Elishalot Davakbo. It could be Avram did understand God's word correctly, and he knew he wasn't supposed to take Lot, but Lot wouldn't let go of him. V'yelech ito Lot, davakbo. I want to go back to your observation now. Now's the time to bring in Ruth. Because the description over here of him, I'm not letting go of Avraham, is really reminiscent of Ruth not letting go of Naomi, and Avram's heading, no, we're going in different directions. You got to stay here. You're going to inherit over here. You're part of the Terach family, and I'm part of a different life. I'm part of a different, the Hebrew word here is Yud. The English is destiny. I have a different destiny than you do, and I need to go and meet my destiny. And that's what Avram says, and Lot says, I'm not letting go. By the way, you realize what he's doing here. He's actually trying to reconcile those two verses. In the first verse, it says, Lot goes with him. He won't let go. And then at that point, Avram says, okay, fine, let me take you with him. You're already coming with me? Fine, hop on the wagon. But again, that's really what the Or Chaim is doing. And you always have to understand in the commentaries what it is that's troubled in it. And then he says it, I think, quite clearly, Vayelech ito Lot, davakbo. Lot goes with him, because Lot had this clinging with him. Sha'amar charkach vikach Avram. And then afterwards, and God took him. So he is reconciling those two verses. Pirushu shelo dachafu. And what is he saying? He did not push him aside. Ad sheyimtzam tza'ah shelo yachlimuhu. Until he found an excuse to say, okay, this is not going to work out. Which means what Or Chaim is telling us, where we started today, where they separate, okay, this isn't working out, that Avram essentially chose the non-combative mode. He didn't want to have this non-confrontational mode. He did not want to get into this fight with him. He says, fine, you want to follow me? Great. Until he was able to show very clearly that this is not working out. And at that point, Lot accepts it completely, and Lot goes to stone. So therefore, what ends up being revealed later on, according to the second approach of Or Chaim, it's quite clear to Avraham how this is going to work out. Lot is not going to stay. We are not going to be able to sustain this model, but Avram needs a time and a place and a situation that is going to become crystallized, and according to the Or Chaim, that's what happens afterwards. V'adavarhu kimat zar shiomei levdurim eile b'kol kach harchaka elitzat sheyechoshev machshavot lafrido kidvar Hashem l'zeh tekef motzo siba dochvo b'shnei yadayim. Otherwise, it's so difficult to understand how Avram speaks to Lot in such strong terms. He parade. Let's separate. He goes, unless this was in his mind from the very beginning, found the opportunity, and now pushes him away with both hands. So it's just very interesting the way that he describes all of this. Constantly in Bereshit, it's going to be the same story. Yes. You're ruining the whole book for everybody. You know, I was careful not to do that. The Or Chaim in source number 6 continues in the same way. In terms of the Or Chaim, it comes down to a larger issue. It's not a question of what Avram thinks or not thinks. What was God's instruction? Which means there's a larger point in the background. Okay, let's look at the Alshech in source number 7. It says, Vayelech ito Lot klomer me'atzmo. The Lot went, it was his own choice. Because again, Avram left the rest of the household behind. And he actually raises what I'd said quickly in passing before. Hold it. Lot actually made a decision here. He left Terach, who really was the place he should have been. The grandfather relationship should have been, especially with the dead father, should have been the real relationship. But there may be something really positive about him. Again, I think we saw it in the Orach Chaim. I think we can hear this again in the Alshech, also the Alshech HaKadosh. We can hear that he is, there's something positive about him. Now, whether Avraham sees this or not, here's the Radak that I wanted to tell you about. But I do want to say one other thing first. And that's the Sfat. Should we say the Sfat Emet now? No, maybe we'll say it at the end. We'll see if we run out of time. First, the Radak. Sorry for that. Ve'lo ben Achiv, ki haya nishma ila v'niach zikno v'halach lo im Avram. This is, and he takes also Lot, his nephew, because Lot listens to him. But then the Radak is going to paint for us something that we did not realize. But first I want you to read the Pasuk again. So we're going to go back to source number 3, where it says in Pasuk Hey, V'yikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, v'et Lot ben Achiv, v'et kol richusham. So whose is the richusham on? That's in plural. So we always would have thought that's Avram and Sarah. Asher rachashu, v'et ha-nefesh asher asu b'charan. Who is that referring to? So we know Rashi teaches us that's Avram and Sarah, right? Avram migayer et anashim, v'sarah et anashim, and so on, and that's the way that the Kirov world should work. Correct. So therefore, yeah, Lot is just this afterthought that we don't pay attention to until you get to the Radak. Asher rachashu, all the things that they owned, hu v'lot. You're saying, what? So the Radak says, no, Avram and Lot, they were the partners. Again, let's go back to our sexist reading of antiquity. What woman owns possessions at that point? You say, no, the people own the possessions. Or whatever Sarah owned is together with Avraham. What are you talking about, Asher Rachashu? No, that's Lot. Now, that itself is an interesting comment, because I don't know if any of us, if I asked you to read that verse 100 times, would have come to that point. Oh, no, the Rachashu, the plural, is Lot and Avraham. V'ruchush kolo kesef v'sha metaltalim. V'ta nefesh ashar su b'charan. So that's Avraham and Sarah. Ha'avadim v'hashvachot shakanu b'charan. That's part of the business. And Onkelos says, these are the people that, I think the phrase he uses, the Shabed Lioraita, the people that he brings to the world of Torah. That's Asu B'Shara, it's the ones that it's Asu, the people that he made, the ones that he brought to the world of Torah. The Targum Onkelos says that over there. So he writes then, after he's quoting Onkelos, because Lot followed Avraham's beliefs, which now I have to pause and say, yes, of course Lot is going to be impacted by the time he spends with Avraham. Of course he understands now that there's one God. And that Avram had a partner in his outreach center, and his partner, if you want, the junior rabbi, the assistant rabbi, was Lot. So now this is, I suspect, a turn that you did not see coming. But again, it's an extension of the previous point. If Lot is leaving Terach and following Avraham, it means he's leaving the idolater and following the monotheist. So now all that really the Radak is asking you to do is, now can you connect the dots? What's the motivation for this? So he says, of course. And therefore, that shocking, a nefesh asher asu b'charan, that's Lot. It's Lot and Avraham. They're the ones who are impacting upon the people. And he knows that Chazal explained it differently. And he says, the Razal Dorshu Asher Su Al Avram V'Sarai. Yeah, he goes, I know Chazal. So the Radak is saying this not because he doesn't know the Midrash. He knows the Midrash. He's just saying, does it ring true? What rings more true is that this was Lot and Avraham. Now, we have a little bit of a problem. Let's take a look at the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma says something which is interesting, and it's maybe here that we need to... I told you we have to get to that Sfat Emet. In source number 9... before they came to the land of Israel, Lot was not just a nephew and not just perhaps a brother-in-law. He was his friend. He was a close friend of Avraham. They're chaver v'reya. Ulekach katav ito. And therefore it says he went with him, because the two of them are fast friends. They go together. They don't separate. Ukishayu be'eretz Yisrael, v'ra Hashem pamayim, nitkadash b'ktusha yitera, ad ki alot rachok harbe mimen. What happened? That when they came to Israel, Avram became transformed in the land of Israel. This itself is fascinating, because I know that sometimes we always suspect that our spiritual heroes were born heroes and they never change along the way. But on the other hand, how can you possibly say that when God says, Lech Lecha, and it's going to be good for you, you're going to be a blessing, which means a change is going to take place. And the Meshech Chachma is just following that thought and saying, of course the land of Israel transformed him. That Avram became something so much holier, which means that you could have imagined Avram and Lot. Okay, they're friends, they're colleagues, they work together, you know, as we saw in the Radak. But now Avram in Eretz Yisrael, and now God speaks to him, and God reveals himself to him. And now Avram just keeps growing and growing, and no, Lot looks at him and doesn't really recognize him anymore. Because, it's not necessarily the problem that there's something evil about Lot. It's just that now there is this distance between the two of them that had never existed before. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful thought. Yet now you have to go back and look at the Meshech Chachma and see what he says over there. Right? That's your homework. I've done enough here. Anyway, very good. And but now they're different. Ulekach katuv v'yal Avram Mitzrayim v'lot imo. Dirak lot mitzad b'chinato halach ito k'chaver v'reya. Ulekach nemar v'gam l'lot olech et Avram. Ki lo hivin godel hasagato u'ma'alato v'hivin. What he says, because he didn't understand the greatness of Avram, and then the Meshech Chachma, but you have to now understand what I just now explained, which I think is a beautiful thought. 11, all that it will add to us is what we already know is that he was also the brother-in-law. Source 12, he speaks about the two times leaving, if they're real or not. It may have been in his mind as opposed to one time was thinking about it. We're going to skip 12, and we're going to go now to 14. 14 is now, again, we've told the whole story out of sequence, even though what is the true sequence here is quite difficult. But now Lot, we know the story, went to Sodom and runs into trouble. And there's a war that breaks out. V'yichu et kol rechush Sodom v'amor v'et kol ochlam v'yilchu. V'yichu et Lot v'et rechusho ben achi Avram. So Lot gets kidnapped. Lot was taken. His possessions are taken. And somebody comes, and we'll read Pasuk Yud Dalid. V'yishma Avram ki nishma achiv. Now this is very similar to what happened immediately before. We're brothers. He hears that his brother is kidnapped. V'yorek et chanichav yildei beito shmonasar, and so on. He goes and gathers his fighting force, and they chase them down. In Pasuk Tet Zayin, V'yoshev et kol haruchush v'gam et lot achi v'ruchusho hishiv v'gam et nashim v'gam v'et ha'am. So they go and they take everything and they return it. V'yomich melch stom el Avram ten li ha'nefesh v'ruchush kachlak. Now I just have to pause here. Here was an opportunity that Avraham could have gotten involved and said, listen, Lot, you messed up. And look at the trouble you got yourself into. He could have taken him back home. Again, on a very human level, there's a relative and you live together and then you separate and then the situation gets very bad and you take them back home. But Avram doesn't do that. Which again, we're brothers and therefore we're separating. And he was in terms of negotiating with the king of Sodom, Avram could have said, you take whatever you want and I'm holding on to Lot. But Avram says, no, again, this is my brother and we separate. And this, if anything, should clarify this point that Avram knows that they cannot be together. Right after this is the Brit Bein Abtarim. Acher Dvirma Eileh, source 15, Hayadvar Hashem al Avram b'machazel lemor, Al tir Avram, anochi magen l'chaschacha harbe ma'od. V'yom Avram Hashem, mati tenli, when are you going to give me? And Avram has a problem because he doesn't have any children. V'nochli olech ariri, I have no children. Uben meshek beiti hu demesek Eliezer. And the v'yomer Avram heinli lo natati zara hinei ben beiti yoreshoti. The only potential heir that Avram sees is Eliezer. Now that's fascinating, because there was another candidate that Avram just now separated from twice, which means it's quite possible that, again, this is the backdrop of the story, that Lot sees himself as the heir, and therefore Lot wants to hang out with him, and Lot wants to be with him. And at some point, Lot says, listen, I'm just going to inherit him anyway at some point. I don't need to be right with him. But Avraham, the separation from Lot from Avraham's perspective is not just a separation. I just want to go back. When God says to him, Lech Lecha, and leave your father's home, and we don't know where Lot's supposed to be on that. And maybe even there was a potential, you go back to your point before, maybe there was a potential that Lot could have been the person. But no. Lot, which means when God says to him, Lech Lecha, I'm going to make you into a great nation, it doesn't, there at least, it doesn't say children. He doesn't use the word Zera there. It could very well have been right there, as far as Avram's thinking, okay, Lot's going to have children, and we're going to raise a whole new nation, and we're going to go into the land of Canaan, and so on. Which means this possibility of Lot as being the heir, I do believe, is the subtext of this entire story till this point. And God, from the very beginning, apparently is saying, no, he's not the one. And therefore, when they finally, which means if you think about it, Avram enters into the land of Israel twice. One time he comes from the north, and one time he comes from the south. When he comes from the north, Lot comes with him. When he comes from the south, he says to him, okay, now, you want to go further north, you want to go south, let's just separate over here because we're not going together. And at this point, that God then speaks to him and says, no, you're going to have Zerah. And again, then God speaks to him, and then Avram liberates Lot from his quagmire. He gets him out, he frees him, but no, does not take him home. And then when he says to God, I have no one to inherit me except for this Eliezer, that's a remarkable statement. But what it should be telling us very loud and very clear, again, if you never thought about it, there was another person who could have potentially have been the heir, and Avram is telling us, at least, he's speaking to God, but he's telling us very, very clearly that that is not the person, that's not how this is going to work out. Going back to what I said before, and I mentioned this in passing, source 16 is the Rashi, where we find Haran sitting on the fence and not knowing which way he's going to go. Is it with Avram? Is it not with Avram? That should be fascinating, because that is eventually what happens with Lot as well. Am I with Avram? Am I not with Avram? Which means I sometimes even wonder to what extent the Midrash that it describes this process or thought process going through the mind of Haran, is that because of the behavior that we later on see in Lot, and then we ascribe it earlier to the previous generation? In source 17, it goes back to when Avram says, "He pared na me'elai, he pared ata elatzad asher tifchar, v'ni asa el hafcho." You go and decide whichever way you're going. I'm going the other way. Now, there are various midrashim which focus on this word, and then they create for us a whole another subtext to this. Source 18, Midrash Rabbah. And now, this idea is found in multiple places, articulated by multiple people. Rabbi Brachi b'shem Yehuda b'Rabbi Simon Amar b'mtosh l'Avram Avinu hayta yotza zmuma u'b'mtosh l'Lot lo hayta yotza zmuma, that Avraham was very careful about theft, and therefore his animals went out to make sure they don't take anything which isn't theirs, and Lot wasn't careful about theft, and therefore the shepherds of Avraham were upset with the shepherds of Lot for allowing theft to take place. And that's why it stresses the land isn't theirs yet, and Lot, who's interested in the inheritance, says, yeah, but one day it will be ours. I mean, God promised you this land, so therefore we have, you know, and if it will be yours, that means it one day will be mine. Which means that this point of Lot saying, no, but it's okay if we, it's not stealing, because it's mine, gives you, I think, a lot of insight of where Lot is coming from. Hayu omru lehem roi Lot, kach amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram, lezaracha atena ta'aret sezot. But Avram, look at that word, pirda, akara, ve'enu molid. Now, what exactly is a pirda akara that is eno molid? It doesn't sound like a very nice description. It's a mule which is barren and doesn't have children. Now, why is a mule barren? Because there's a chromosomal issue. By the way, whether it's 100% of the time or not, only 99% of the time. And it is, yes, we had to check up to find out if... the science on this. But horses and donkeys have different chromosomes and they can produce offspring, but that offspring is very unlikely then to subsequently produce offspring. So it's saying that Avram is a pirda akara. So therefore, it's saying, the Midrash is therefore saying this, midah keneged midah, because he's saying that Avraham is a mule and will never have children, and therefore pirda, therefore li pared, and therefore there is the separation. So it's really the focus on that word. The word akara is also focused upon, if we continue, lamachar hu meit velot ben achiv yorsho, ve'ein ochlin, right, and therefore we don't have to care about what we take, it's not stealing. Lizar achanatati, eimatai, kishiyakru shiv'a amamim. So notice akara, pirda, akara ve'inu molid, it's only after the sheva amamim are gone, but until this point they actually own this part of the land. Source number 19, a local arts lamecha, hiparade, hevdel in hibadel, or hevdel in katifo, ella hiparade, kishem shepirdazo enu koletet zera, kach iav sherloto ish, letarev bezera shel Avram. Yalkut Shimoni is very late midrash, and I just believe it's explaining what we saw in the early midrash, but that's how I understood it, so I just brought that as further proof. Source 20 tells us the same kind of thing. Source 21, the Panim Yafot, tells us, and this is ultimately the reason why Moav can't marry in, because they're separated. And he does go back, I just want to read a little bit here. He paraded on my Elaim or Chazal, lo yavo amani u Moavi. Therefore, when Avram says we're separating, that means that the children of Moav and the children of Avram are separating. And this is going to go on for a very long time. Hainush asur isur olam l'dabekbo, v'atam kevin shaya karov elav, v'leu biktusha, v'achakach rav ramavino l'vasham shehershia, lo che'iv shalato od. That it's because of that opportunity, because he lived in Avram's tent, because he saw what kindness was. By the way, this is not a homiletic interpretation that he's saying over here. This is just, he's explaining something clearly. The pasuk, when it says that you can't marry into Moab and Ammon, it says, I'm reading now from Dvarim, Perek Kaf Gimel, lo yavo amoni yomavi b'kal Hashem, gam dor asiri levo lem b'kal Hashem ad olam, al dvar Hashem lo kidmu otchem lechem umayim b'derech b'tzeitchem yitzrayim. Because you didn't go and bring them food. Who in the world would be expected to bring someone food? Because they're coming in from the desert and they're tired. Who? Somebody who grew up in Avram's tent has that responsibility now, because that's what they learned. Which means Avram took them up and gave them Kedusha. But Avram sees that they can't go any further. That's what the Panim Yafot says. I want to say one more thing about the mule and so on. I see something else. I didn't see anybody say this. But a mule is created because of two different species come together, and therefore the Midrashic attack against Avram, oh, Avram can't have children, and this is coming from the Lot side. So it's saying, oh, you prefer only when one species or one family has children. One wonders if what later on takes place between Lot and his daughters is now going to be this direct response to accusing Avram of being this mule. You call Avram a mule. I just suspect that there are going to be some kind of implications and consequences to this. And I just wonder, that is another midah keneged midah of what took place earlier. So again, I'm going to say, what is it that we saw today? We saw today somebody who maybe we would not give him much thought. Maybe we would give him more thought next week when we have the whole destruction of stone. But no, Lot is a very important part of the story, because it's only when the rejection of Lot becomes clarified do we then truly understand that it's Avram, no, we'll have children. Which is actually, there's another point which is important. And that is, it's, I don't know if I brought anyone who said this, but there is a Pirkei de Belezer who points out that whatever happened to the Nefesh Shehasu B'Charan, because they all disappeared, they all gave up, which means there was truth in the word of Avram, but there must have been some kind of a charisma, and there must have been some kind of an excitement. And Avram dies, and they all kind of, okay, the show's over, and now we'll go back. And now they just joined some other show, they went some other place. And ultimately, it's not just that Yitzchak is chosen, and it's just that Yishmael, and it's everyone else is rejected. And Avram taught many, many people, and everything else becomes on the side. And then the future is only through one person. That's Avram, and then Yitzchak. Everything else disappears, which is also fascinating. Because, you know, who actually really understands, you know, their life's work? It could very well be that by the time Avram died, he had thousands or tens of thousands of followers, and he would have thought, this is it. This is what God had promised. And now monotheism was spread, and look at all the success. And God knows where they're really... No, Yitzchak is the one to invest in. Yitzchak is the one who's going to take place. And as it gets clarified, and that's really what the book of Bereishit is about, it's this clarification. And as the clarification takes place, we then come to this realization, yeah, Lot was one of the first ones that gets pushed off to the side. And yet, maybe he was a candidate, and maybe Eliezer's a candidate, and maybe Ishmael's a candidate, and maybe the Ben Keturah, you can think of, no, actually, and the Nefesh Shehasu B'Charan, no. All of them disappear, and maybe even they were the handiwork of Lot. But even Lot, you know, he had his years as a Kiruv professional, and then he ends up himself going back off the derech, as they say, and that itself becomes interesting. But those words that we saw, that Avram gets transformed by the land of Israel, is interesting. I just want to end up with what I told you before. I promised you a Sfat Emet. The Sfat Emet asks the question that everybody should be asking, and that is that, why does God say to Avraham, Lech Lecha? Right? Why Avraham? I mean, he could have said this to... meaning, why did he choose him? So the Sfat Emet quotes the Zohar, and he says that the reality is that God says Lech Lecha to every single person, and Avraham was the only one who heard. And this is absolutely true, that God says Lech Lecha to every single Jew in the world, and most of them push it aside and don't want to listen and don't want to pay attention. And in this week's Parshas Lech Lecha, we just have to make sure that we remind them that that voice that they're hearing is not the voice they're supposed to be pushing aside. It's all those other voices they should be pushing aside. All those other voices, which maybe are very pragmatic and maybe practical and maybe important on all kinds of levels. But no, God speaks to everyone and says, Lech Lecha, go. There's a place you're supposed to be. And now we can add to that. And once you get here, there's this opportunity to become transformed. But that also doesn't happen automatically. It didn't happen to Lot. Lot didn't become transformed. Lot didn't become great. Lot becomes this person who remains this person in the middle, as we saw, like his father and like his grandfather, and doesn't go all the way. Avram is this person who has this capacity to take the holiness, to breathe it, to have it become part of their personality, and to transform him. And that's why he's Avram Avinu.